To sing the praises of the Lord. It's always a joy. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. So God has inhabited our praises today as we lifted them up to Him. While many people have messed up their lives and are sad and despairing of life, just to let you know, I'm one of those people who messed up my life. So, just to know I'm not up there. I'm right there with you. A man became addicted to alcohol and as a result has been divorced by his wife, rejected by his children, and fired from his good job. A minister who fell into immoral conduct is working at a mundane job, believing that he can never be used of God again. A young woman who had two children out of wedlock is finding it difficult to fit in at church. Now, all these people have repented of their sins and have received God's forgiveness, but they take a rather hopeless view toward the remainder of their lives. What is the reason behind their hopeless view toward the remainder of their lives? Well, they figure that they are responsible for their circumstances and therefore they deserve a good share of misery the rest of their lives here on earth. Now, is that where you are today? Please listen. If that's where you are today, may I say to you, that's not how God deals with people who have messed up and have repented. Today, the Word of God is going to show us that the potter didn't throw away the clay vessel when it became marred or messed up. He reworked He reworked it and made a new one to his liking. This is how God deals with people. When we sin and become mud or messed up, God doesn't throw us away. He waits for us to repent. And when we do, he goes to work on us again to make something beautiful out of our broken life. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this decisive hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's life-changing and lasting truth. In order to change genuine born-again Christians among us here more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. And also to convict the unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, leading them to repentance, genuine repentance, mercifully and miraculously, so that they will find faith, true faith, in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer, the redeemer, and the restorer of lost sinners, repentant sinners like myself. So here's our message in a nutshell. I want you to listen, to pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Here is the message. It's so simple and so encouraging, and I want you to hear it for yourself. The message simply is this. God, listen, specializes in reshaping and restoring broken lives. That's why I'm here today. It's because God specializes in reshaping and restoring broken lives. So folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock of God, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to give us a vivid and visual picture, a direct and down-to-earth illustration to show us today and settle in our hearts that the Lord, who himself is the divine potter, is indeed in the business of reshaping, remolding, restoring, remaking, and rebuilding broken lives. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to leave an indelible mark on your heart and my heart today, assuring us that God Almighty is more committed, listen, more committed to making something beautiful out of our messed up and broken lives rather than just dumping us or discarding us or disposing of us like garbage. But the question is, do you believe that God can reshape and restore your life, your broken life? Do you have even an expectation that God can do so in your life? Because if you don't have the expectation, you will not be pursuing God to reshape or restore your broken life. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Jeremiah chapter 18. Verses 1 to 6. Will you please listen carefully as I recite the word of God from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hands, in my hand, O house of Israel. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Jeremiah, whose name means the Lord hurls or the Lord lifts up, was called to be God's messenger in one of the toughest times in Hebrew history. Equipped with the word of God as his only implement of warfare, Jeremiah stood as God's mouthpiece in a time when the people wanted him to simply keep quiet. Just like people don't want to hear about Jesus today. He was called the weeping prophet. Through his tears, he proclaimed the judgment of God, and with a broken heart, he leveled warning after warning against a deaf and hard-hearted nation. If you have ever wondered if God's servants struggle with broken hearts and feelings of disappointment or discouragement, look no further than Jeremiah. He lived life in a state of sadness, lonely and utterly disappointed. However, even in his bitterness of soul, he remained faithful to proclaim the message God had called him to preach. And through Jeremiah's faithfulness to proclaim God's message, God preserves for us a wonderful message, revealing to us vividly and visually that he is the divine potter and we are the clay. So it is very easy to make application to mankind in general and to each individual personally. Originally, God spoke to Jeremiah saying the house of Israel is the clay and he is the potter, but it applies to you and me today. You are the clay on the potter's wheel, and I am the clay on the potter's wheel. Regardless of what else may be said about your life, you are the clay today on the potter's wheel. So imagine yourself as that clay on the potter's wheel as we go through this message. Actually, the figure of the potter and clay is carried over into the New Testament as well. In Romans chapter 9, verse 21, the biblical imagery that pictures mankind as made of clay is used there in Paul's argument in Romans chapter 9, verse 21. He says, all does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So this image of the potter and the clay is not only in the Old Testament, it's also in the New Testament as well. In other words, this is a vivid picture that God has preserved not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament to teach us an important lesson. So having given you a general background, let's now take a closer look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 16, and let the Holy Spirit teach us afresh about how God restores and reshapes broken lives. So this message is not only for you and me. God is giving you this message to remind you again, when you meet people who feel like their lives are over, you can present this message to them and show them how God can restore and reshape their lives. First of all, please notice that the Bible's teaching that God restores and reshapes broken lives begins with a personal word from the Lord in verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah the prophet was blessed. I wish I were Jeremiah. Sometimes I wish I was like him because of this. Because Jeremiah received a personal word from the Lord again and again in his life. By God's command, Jeremiah is to go to and see a potter's treatment of the clay, and afterward receive God's own interpretation of the potter's treatment of the clay. So now will you please listen again to the personal word from the Lord that was given to Jeremiah. The Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from where? From the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Now please notice, the personal word from the Lord to Jeremiah is very, very clear, not confusing. It is very concise, not complex or complicated. In other words, it is understandable and it is unmistakable. I tell you folks, if you were to receive a personal word from the Lord today, it will be very clear to you. You will understand exactly what God is saying to you. Now please notice that the personal word from the Lord to Jeremiah answers three specific, simple, yet significant questions. What are those questions? Well, first, it answers the question, when is Jeremiah to do what God is telling him to do? When is he to do what God had just told him to do? Well, the answer is right now. But you ask, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Please listen. Whenever the God commands arise, in the Hebrew is kum, it means, or it demands immediate response. It means start now, make a move now. So Jeremiah, being a prophet, understood that when God says arise, he must arise as soon as God has finished talking. Second, where is Jeremiah to make a move to? Well, by divine direction, Jeremiah is to go to where? The potter's house. Now, from the expression, go down, notice the Bible says, arise and go down. We gather from that expression that the potteries of Jerusalem lay in the valley near the city, perhaps in the southern parts of the city of Jerusalem, where clay pits have been found. Now remember, when you are going to Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, you always go up. Why? Because the city of Jerusalem was built on a mountainous terrain. So from every direction, wherever you come, you have to go up to Jerusalem. So when God says go down, we know that Jerusalem, Jeremiah is walking basically in elevation. He's going in the valley direction. Now, but the point here is that Jeremiah knows exactly where the potter's house is. He won't get lost even though he doesn't have a GPS device. He will get there exactly because he knows that place. Now, the third question is, why is God asking Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house? Now, although God doesn't need to give us his reason for doing what he commands us, he sometimes gives us a reason. So God tells Jeremiah, while you are there, at the potter's house, I intend to give you an important revelation and a message of vital significance to my people. So understand that Jeremiah is not being sent to the potter's house to preach to the potter. He was not being sent to preach a sermon. Rather, he was being sent there to pay very close attention to what God would say to him as he observes what the potter is doing. So, the reason given to Jeremiah is actually a promise from God to Jeremiah. Remember when Kitty was praying, she mentioned God's promises and God's prophecies. Well, Jeremiah is being given a promise here, and I want you to watch carefully to see if God will fulfill that promise to Jeremiah. Because that will encourage your heart and will encourage my heart. Now, here's an important question before I go further. And that the important question is, practical question is, how do believers receive a personal word from the Lord today? Have you received a personal word word from the Lord of late? Do you eagerly expect a personal word from the Lord? Now, please listen carefully now. The number one way believers in Jesus receive a personal word from the Lord today is through the consistent reading and reflecting on the Bible. God's word to you and me. Some Christians often ignore their Bibles. They don't read it. They don't meditate on it. But they want to hear a word from the Lord. And so maybe they will go to a prophet or a prophetess to give them a personal word from the Lord. Now, if I were that prophet or prophetess, you know what I would tell that person when he comes to or she comes to me? I'll say, go and make prayerful reading of your Bible a daily discipline in your life, and you will hear a personal word from the Lord every time you open these pages. Now, I'm not saying that a prophet can never give you a word. They can give you a word. But if you want to consistently hear a word from the Lord, you open these pages and begin to listen to Him. Well, having received a personal word from the Lord, will you please notice what the Bible or the Holy Spirit teaches us about the prompt, obedient response of the prophet in the first part of verse 3. The Bible says, then I went down to the potter's house. Now, Jeremiah's obedient response to Yahweh, the Lord his God, was very prompt. Notice the Bible begins verse 3 by saying, using a word of time. Then. The question is, when is then? When is then? Well, it's immediately after Jeremiah received a personal word from the Lord to arise and go down to the potter's house. There was no delay on the part of Jeremiah. There was no dilly-dallying at this point in his life. There was no dragging of feet. There was no discussion or debating the issue with God. There was no holding back. There was no hesitation on the part of Jeremiah. There was no procrastination. Rather, he was very prompt and punctual in his response, doing exactly what God has specifically told him to do. So Jeremiah was not disobedient to the personal word he received from the Lord. Remember the great hymn of the faith. Trust and obey. The refrain says what? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's all say trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
You see, Jeremiah trusted and obeyed the Lord and experienced the joy of the Lord. We'll see that in a minute. He hadn't, if Jeremiah hadn't obeyed the message God has given him to go to the potter's house, do you know what will happen? We will have not received this message that God restores and reshapes broken lives. This message will have been lost to us. So I thank God for Jeremiah's prompt, obedient response to him. So the question is, what about you? Do you hold back when Jesus is calling you to do something? Do you drag your feet after receiving a personal word from the Lord? Do you give excuses why you can't stop using drugs or consuming alcohol until alcohol controls you? Or do you give God excuses why you can't stop gambling, gossiping, stealing, sexual immorality? Well, if you are Jeremiah, you will not be a good friend of Jeremiah. Because he didn't give any excuses to God. He did exactly what God told him to do, and he did it promptly. Well, having shared with you the personal word Jeremiah received from the Lord himself, And having shown us the prompt, obedient response of the prophet Jeremiah, the Bible now shines its light on the potter at work. We'll see that in verses 3 to 4, the second part of verses 3. This is actually a critical point in this message. Why? This is because God is about to listen, God is about to lay the foundation for the teaching that He, the Almighty God, the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, is in the business of restoring and reshaping broken lives such as yours and mine. This is where that foundation is being laid. So please listen carefully to verses 3 to 4. The Bible says, "And there He was." I like that. I'll tell you why. "Making something on the wheel. But a vessel that He was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So He remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make." Now, the first thing we see in these verses is the personal delight and excitement of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I told you that Jeremiah had many sad times in his life. But there was a time that he had some joy in his life. And one of those times is here. I tell you, friends, one of the benefits or the blessings of obeying God, who is fully and finally revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is experiencing personal delight and excitement in doing what He's told you to do. You see, when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, he was so delighted to see the potter at work. That is why, with great excitement, he says, "And there He was!" I wish you were there to see the smile on the face of Jeremiah and the joy of the Lord welling up in his heart. You see, when you are looking for someone really important or someone special, and you find that person, don't you express your personal delight and excitement? Yes, you do. And I do. I remember a time in my life when I was just going to start high school. And my father had passed away a year earlier. And my mother was taking me from our hometown, which is a little town, to the second largest city. And we were traveling by train. But the train had a problem. The engine was not able to pull all the coaches. So it was decided that half of the coaches will be left behind. And then the engine will pull half of the coaches and then have the mechanics work on the engine so that it will come back for the rest and then pull the whole bunch to our city. Well, it happened that when I was moving into the next coach, they told us to get into the next coach. And as I was moving, the train just broke apart. I mean, the coach that we were in was left behind, and I left my mother behind. And meanwhile, I don't know where I was going, because I was just 13 at the time. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't speak their language, because their language is different. So there I was, separated from my mom. For several hours, the train took us to one station, and then the engine went back and brought my mother. When we met, my delight was indescribable. Now, what did Jeremiah see at the potter's house? Well, while at the potter's house, Jeremiah observed three things, which he now shares with us. First is the practice of the potter. Potters were makers of what? Household vessels. Potters practice their craft of making pottery on the wheel. They know what they are doing. They have a purpose. When they sit at a wheel, they are not playing. They are practicing their craft of making vessels. And remember, God, the great potter, is not playing with your life. He's not playing with my life. When he sits at that wheel, he's going to make your life what he wants it to be. Now the question is, what is the wheel? Well, the Hebrew word translated wheel literally means a pair of stone discs. You see, a potter's wheel consists of two flat circular stones. Both stones or wheels are attached to a single shaft or rod, one end of which was sunk permanently in the ground. The potter will spin the lowest wheel with his foot and will work the clay on the upper wheel. As he spins, his hands are deftly and artistically working with the clay as he attempts to form out of it a work of art. Well, God sent Jeremiah to observe this. Now, Jeremiah did not only observe the practice of the potter, but also the power of the potter. You say, what is the power of the potter? Well, you see, friends, no clay can stop the potter, can it? No clay can resist the potter's will, can it? No clay can speak back to the potter, can it? In other words, the clay on the potter's wheel can't get up when he wants to. Can you imagine the clay as he's being worked on saying, I'm getting out of here, and walking out? I tell you, folks, the clay on the potter's wheel is not able to do anything. It can only yield to the potter's hand. So the point here is that the potter has power over the clay, and that power is unlimited. Jeremiah observed that power. Finally, Jeremiah observed the pleasure of the potter in remaking a spoiled vessel into another vessel. Jeremiah observed the potter, that the vessel the potter was making was spoiled or ruined. Some of you in your Bible, it says marred or corrupted. It comes from the Hebrew word shakath, which is first found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, describing the corruption that prompted the devastating flood that occurred over all the earth. So that word spoiled is a major word, because it's that word that was used of when God saw that the earth was corrupt, he decided it's time to end everything and start all over. So to say today in our language, the vessel was messed up big time. It was no good. It was a disaster. Jeremiah watched the potter at the wheel, and the soft clay that was being shaped became misshapen. Instead of discarding the messed up or marred or misshapen vessel, the Bible tells us the potter shaped it back into a good vessel. Now please notice very carefully that we are not told the cause of the mess. The Bible doesn't tell us how that vessel became spoiled or messed up. If anything, the flaw was in the clay itself, not in the potter's skill. But please listen carefully. The real point here is that the potter can do as he pleases with the clay on which he works. Does he not? If you were the potter, what will you do? Will you not do with the clay as you please? Yes, you will do that. You see, as he pleases, he can discard the messed up vessel after it was messed up, or finish the marred vessel the way it turned out with all the flaws in it. Or he can make an entirely new vessel out of the clay, one like the former one, or altogether different, exactly as it seems good and right to the potter. After all, the clay is in his hand, it's in his power. So Jeremiah observed the practice of the potter, the power of the potter over the clay, as well as the pleasure of the potter in reshaping and rebuilding a messed up vessel into a masterpiece. Now our story comes to a climax. Remember, I told you about the promise. Now the Bible now brings us to that point. The Lord's promise is fulfilled to his prophet in verses 5 to 6. God gave Jeremiah the promise that when you go to the house of the potter, there I will announce my words to you. Now we see this promise being fulfilled. This is what verses 5 to 6 are all about. The Bible says, then, when is then? After he observed what the potter was doing. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the hand of the in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. In fulfilling his promise to his prophet, God discloses the truth lying in the potter's treatment of the clay. He deals with people, that is first of all the nation of Israel and the rest of us, you and me, like the potter does. What does the potter do? He doesn't dump the messed up vessel. He doesn't dispose the messed up vessel as garbage and walk away. He reworks, he rebuilds, he reshapes it into another vessel. So God is the divine potter, restoring and reshaping your broken life and my broken life. And this is truly amazing grace. You see, just as the potter had power to reshape the messed up vessel into another vessel, so also the divine potter had power to reshape us to conform to his purpose. Now, I want you to remember something. God doesn't make mistakes, right? We do. God doesn't make mercies. We do. God doesn't bring moral corruption in our lives, but we do. But please listen carefully now. When we make mercies or mistakes and messed up our lives, the Bible is teaching us here that the divine potter graciously, lovingly, tenderly, mercifully, and compassionately comes into our mercies and gets his hands dirty to make something special, something beautiful, something wonderful, something amazing out of our broken lives. Instead of forsaking us in our mercies, instead of washing off his hands off of us and saying, I'm done with you, does he not have the right to do that? He does. And yet he doesn't. Why? Because of his amazing grace and abundant goodness toward those who know that God is the potter and they are the clay. So please, let's all say, Lord, you are the potter. I am the clay. Make me and mold me. This is what I pray. So how does this message, God specializes in reshaping and restoring broken lives, show up in real life? Well, please listen. If you are already a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is how this message is to show up in your life. First of all, be reminded that the Lord Jesus is the potter and you are the clay. This means you can't be your own boss. You must live your life in submission to Jesus. Second, be receptive to Jesus' gracious and good work in your life today. Don't refuse him. Don't resist him. Remember, no clay can resist the potter. Third, repent of any known sin that has marred your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. And you know your sins that are marring and ruining your life. Maybe your sin is not reading the Bible regularly to receive a personal word from the Lord. Maybe your sin is not obeying Jesus. Maybe your sin is lack of faith that Jesus can actually rebuild and reshape your broken life into something special. You have lack of faith. You are not believing that he can do that. Maybe your sin is anger, bitterness, cursing, doing drugs, gambling, resentment. Repent of them, because Jesus is willing to forgive you all of them. Why? He died on the cross to pay that sin debt for you and for me. And then fourth, rely on the Holy Spirit to yield to Jesus today to do his work of reshaping and restoring you into a beautiful vessel, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You simply tell Jesus, I'm yielding my broken life to you today. Bring something out of that broken life. Now, if you are not a genuine born-again believer, may I humbly say to you today, your life is messed up and marred by sin. If you were to die today in your sins, your eternal destiny will be hell, the lake of fire, and brimstone. You'll be forever separated from the loving presence of the loving God. But thanks be to God. The Bible says he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to what? Repentance. So please turn. Repentance means make a bow turn. Turn today to Jesus just as you are. Don't clean up yourself. Jesus will do that for you. Tell Jesus today that your life is wretchedly marred by sin. And I trust Jesus that he died on the cross for your sins. That he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved and set apart for the purposes of God, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. So the ball is now in your court. Will you please respond? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you look at your life, the brokenness in your life, and you have lost hope that Jesus can actually restore your life and make something beautiful out of it, please come today. We will trust God with you and see Jesus begin a special work in your life of rebuilding and reshaping your life. Whatever concern also you may have, come and bring that. We sang today, lay your burdens down. You can come and lay those burdens at the feet of Jesus as well. But if you are not a believer in Jesus, come here. Please come forward here and I'll pray with you to have the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ.